every single client who works with me experiences successes in other areas of their life, not just with their weight or their health or getting off medication or going from pre-diabetic status to regular blood sugar levels, or even how they feel when they look in the mirror. And what I like about tracking is it's just a repeatable system that every single person can do to achieve better fat loss results. This podcast is sponsored by the Legendary Life Program. The Legendary Life Program is a 90-day coaching program where I work with you to upgrade your health, burn fat, and transform your body while you enjoy your life and eat the foods that you love. So if you're over 40, you've tried everything and nothing has worked long-term, or if you're tired of restrictive dieting and time-consuming workouts, this might be the right program for you. So if you want to learn more about my program, watch my brand new masterclass where I teach you the five-step process our busy clients are using to build a leaner, stronger, and healthier body three times faster without boot camps, CrossFit, high-intensity interval training, Pilates, intermittent fasting, going keto, or quick fixes that don't work long-term. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/free. That's legendarylifepodcast.com/free. Welcome to the Legendary Life Podcast, where it's all about taking control of your health, losing fat, transforming your body, and living the life you deserve with celebrity fitness trainer and longevity enthusiast, Ted Rice. Now, back to the show. During the end of the year, millions of people choose losing weight as their New Year's resolution. And many of those people turn to apps to track their food intake, and with good reason. Tracking your food intake is proven by many studies to be one of the best ways to successfully lose weight. And it makes total sense because you start to learn what you're actually eating and how many calories you're actually eating in a day. But the thing is, many people complain of either not getting results, the dreaded, I'm only eating 1,200 calories, but I'm not losing weight complaint. Or maybe they're getting results, but going a little crazy in the process. It's getting a little obsessive for them or a little stressful. There's even some research that suggests calorie tracking apps may trigger people with a history of eating disorders. So to help you achieve your fat loss results the right way with tracking, I've created this episode to show you how I coach my clients to success. So if you want to lose fat and you know that understanding how many calories you're eating every day is important, but either you failed in the past with tracking or perhaps you've never tried it because you don't want to stress out over trying to figure out how many calories you're eating or how many foods or different foods, this episode is for you. Now, it's going to be in two parts. Today, I'm going to set the foundation so that you focus on having the right mindset with tracking. And if you're already like rolling your eyes with that word mindset, I want you to listen to this episode twice because you need it. It's really important that we set the stage properly, set our intentions, set our expectations at the beginning of this process so that you don't fail halfway through, because that's what most people experience. How do I know? Well, that's what I do for work. This is one of the strategies, one of the tools that I use with my clients. And so I want to first tell you about how I started with tracking, because you may listen to some of what I've talked about and said, well, this guy's just one of those people. He's just one of those trackers. Like, probably things come so easy to him and tracking probably came very easy to him. But for me, it's really hard to do. And I'll be honest with you. I was super resistant to tracking my food. And if you don't know my story, I've been in the fitness industry for 23 years. I started in 1998, and I've had my Fitness Pal on my phone, on my iPhone, since 2013. But I tried it and I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. I gave up right away. In other words, I never did it seriously until I hired my coach, Eric, in 2019. And why did that happen? Well, I was in Bangkok, Thailand, and I was eating every lunch and dinner in restaurants. And if you don't know about Bangkok, it is a foodie paradise. The food is incredible there. And I mean, whether you're eating a $200 meal at Gagan, which is a famous restaurant in Bangkok, or if you're in Chinatown at a Michelin-starred streetcar paying $2 for a meal, the food is just incredible. And there was no way I was going to sit at home and eat chicken breast and broccoli to get lean when I had these amazing experiences, culinary experiences available to me. There was no way I was going to miss out on experiencing the culinary culture of Thailand just because I wanted to look lean. That's not a sacrifice I was willing to make. And more importantly, I knew I didn't need to make that sacrifice if I just dialed in my calories. So I started tracking. And I want to tell you something. The first day I did it, I wanted to give up. It was annoying. And I started to have this voice inside my head tell me, like, do I really need to do this to get lean? Like, can't I just kind of wing it? Can't I just find another way? But after all the whining was done, my inner bitch started to show up, shut up. So it showed up, but once it started to shut up, I decided I was going to commit to doing it. Another thing that really helped at the time was my business partner, Giselle. Well, I want to say that she was supportive, but in reality, she's like, hey, you need to do this. Okay. You need to get lean. You need to follow the program. You're a coach. You're working with a coach. You need to be a good client. And it's really important for our business that you get in shape, in the best shape possible. So I stuck with it. And you know what? After 3 days, it became kind of easy. The first 3 days, at least for me, and now this is my experience, the first 3 days were really tough. It was, I wanted to give up. I wanted to stop doing it. That was that resistance. That was, I've talked about this in the past. My habit was already to not track. I've tried tracking and it didn't work for me. So I had this belief, this pattern already established that, oh, this sucks, right? And so I had a habit of not tracking, of a negative association with tracking. But once I pushed through, after 3 days, it became pretty easy. Now, for you, it might not be 3 days. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's longer, especially if you don't have an expert teaching you how to do it, because Eric coached me on how to do this. So I didn't get that frustrated with me, with the process. I mean, yes, there were times I wanted to give up. Yes, there were times where I was like, man, am I doing this right? I don't think this is correct. In fact, let me tell you, I got dengue fever during my coaching program with Eric. So about a month of the coaching program was me, of weeks of me laying in bed, getting up every day to go to the hospital to get my blood, I forget exactly what happens, if it's your white blood cells or your red blood cells. I forget what happens with dengue fever, but my numbers, I think it was white blood cells. They were just getting lower and lower. And so I felt like, and it was way worse than COVID, let me tell you, it was pretty scary. It's like, am I going to die in Thailand? I mean, I was in a good mood, but I felt like 90 years old. Even with that, I made a commitment to stick through it. And actually, it helped me because on dengue fever, I lost weight, but I didn't lose weight because, and I was sleeping all the time. And I'm like the opposite of a sound sleeper. I'm not the person that can sleep at anywhere, at any time, under any circumstances. I really have to have the right environment with, it needs to be cold, it needs to be dark, it needs to be quiet. But I was just falling asleep during the day, no matter what was going on. It was super weird. It was completely, my physiology was a mess. And my appetite was gone. And my appetite, I mean, even with some of the stressful events I've been through in my life, the deaths of family members didn't knock out my appetite. But dengue fever did. So actually, the tracking helped me to stay on point with the nutrition to make sure I was eating enough. And I still struggled. I was having vegetable soup and forcing myself to eat. Because one of the problems is when you get sick and you start to lose too much weight, that's what kills people. That's what kills a lot of people anyway. So it helped me, like, oh, wow. Whether you're eating too much or eating too little, tracking can really help you. And hiring my coach and going through that experience, even with all the ups and downs, even with the dengue fever, It became a pivotal point in who I was as a person, a coach, and a business owner even. And the reason I'm telling you this story is this. Tracking is a tool, but what we're really trying to do with this tool is to help you become the person that you need to become to get the results that you want in this area of your life. We're talking about health. We're talking specifically about fat loss. And what I'm telling you is that when you step up and do what it takes in a healthy way, and that's important, and we'll talk about that more, when you step up and do what it takes in a healthy way to achieve your goal, all areas of your life improve. That's why I'm so passionate about what I do. That's why I love coaching. I could come up, you think I'm not smart enough to come up with a different business model, a different way to make money? There's so many ways to make money online. But what gets me so pumped up about coaching is I get high when other people win in their life. I feel like I'm doing something good for the planet. Well, for the planet, maybe not, but for society, for human society. I feel like the more people who become emotionally healthier and achieve what they want and force themselves to grow into their potential, really, that's a good thing for humanity. And that's my belief. That's what I believe. So every single client who works with me experiences successes in other areas of their life, not just with their weight or their health or getting off medication or going from pre-diabetic status to regular blood sugar levels, or even how they feel when they look in the mirror. And what I like about tracking is it's just a repeatable system that every single person can do to achieve better fat loss results. It gives you a sense of power, a sense of control in a world where so often we get knocked on our ass, like with coronavirus, the quarantines, all the political craziness, you can't do anything about it. But tracking is a way to take the chaos of like, oh, what should I eat? Oh, I'm starting to lose weight, but then it goes away. I think I see my muscles and then I gain the fat back. I don't know what's going on. This is a way that can help any person get to that next level with their health. And let me tell you, folks, our society right now wants to tell you it's okay to be fat. It's okay to be obese. And look, it doesn't say anything about your worth as a person if you're overweight or obese, but I'll tell you something, it ain't healthy for you. 100%, it's not healthy for you. Some of us have a body that can handle more fat than others. That's why you get people who are quote unquote metabolic healthy, but they're obese, but it doesn't last forever. Eventually you pass your point and you start having problems. So tracking is a system that every single person, no matter what your gender is, your age, your hormonal status, if you've got Hashimoto's, or if you are premenopausal or postmenopausal, or if you think you have low testosterone, this is something that will work for you when coached properly, of course. So let's get into some other reasons why you should track your food. So if my story of tracking didn't hit home with you and inspire you enough, there's some other reasons to track as well. So I told you earlier, it was proven by science to work. In fact, a research review in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association looked at 22 studies on the relationship between weight loss and food tracking. And the reviewers consistently found a connection between diligently tracking food and successful weight loss. Does that come as any surprise to anybody? It's like, knowing what the hell you're eating is associated with better weight loss than not knowing what the hell you're eating. Now, I know what you think. You think, well, I know what I'm eating. I made these healthy choices. But as I talked about before, healthy choices are only 50% because you can get fat by eating healthy food and then it becomes not healthy, right? That's why there's so much gray area here. So the quality of your food is important. But the quantity is what most people, they don't know. They don't know it's 300 calories for a 6-ounce ribeye steak, but for a 10 ounce, it's 500. They don't know they're eating 500 calories when they're eating that superfood acai bowl. When you could go to McDonald's, something that no person who thinks in this way would ever think was a better choice than an acai bowl, and get an egg McMuffin for 300 calories. And another example I've used, when you're eating full fat Greek yogurt versus non-fat. It's like double the calories. So this works. It's proven by science. And it works on the principle of calories in, calories out, not on cutting sugar, not on like you don't care that you're eating three tablespoons of olive oil on your salad, which is like 360 calories, but you think that cutting the one sugar that you add to your coffee every morning, oh, just get rid of that 4 grams of sugar, that 12 calories or 16 calories coming from sugar every morning, like that's going to make a dent in your weight loss because it's quote unquote sugar. That's the type of stuff that tracking can help you move away from. So number two, your memory sucks. And I'm not insulting you. It's a human flaw, right? My memory isn't so great either. And what do I mean by that? Well, what did you eat for lunch last Tuesday? Unless it was your daughter's birthday or your birthday or some special event, you probably don't remember. And guess what? It's totally normal. You got to remember the important stuff, and what you ate last Tuesday, not really up there on the priority list of what you've got to do every week. But even if you do remember, what were the foods that you ate and the total calories in the portions? So unless you're tracking, you don't know that. And life is just too hectic to use our memory to keep track of what and how much we're eating. That's just how it is. And here's another one that I don't think this is talked about enough. Our environment makes us fat by default. Something a lot of people say to me, actually, a lot of people don't say this, but a couple do. Why do I need to track? It just seems so unnecessary and extreme. And look, I hear you, but here's the perspective that you're missing. You know what else is extreme? The modern lifestyle we live compared to our hunter-gatherer ancestors. Tracking helps us navigate and manage our food choices in an environment where we're inundated by advertising, easy access to food, Uber Eats, vending machines, candy jars on your secretary's desk. Look, you could always just quit modern life and move to Tanzania in Africa and live with the Hadza tribe. If you don't know who they are, they're a tribe that still has their hunter-gatherer lifestyle intact. They haven't modernized. And guess what? You probably wouldn't need to track. But you'll also be running and walking miles every day. You'll be hunting and gathering your food every day. And you're not going to have any time I don't know what your goals are, but you're not going to have time to do any of it because your whole life is going to be revolve around hunting and gathering. But if you're going to stay here in the U.S. or wherever you're living and live this crazy, modern, high-stress, sedentary lifestyle that we're all living, and I mean, I'm sitting right now as I'm recording this, then you're going to have to do more than eat intuitively or go on trendy diets. And tracking is a way to, again, take control of the chaos that is our modern, digital, crazy life. Number four is it can help improve your relationship with food. Although many people think tracking is a bit extreme, if you do it the right way, it can help with your relationship with food. And I've alluded to this earlier in this episode, as well as I've talked about it on other podcasts. Most people separate food into two groups. There's good food and bad food. Oh, kale, that's good. I've seen that all over the place. Oh, acai, that's good. Ah, Oreo cookies, that's bad. Right? Dessert, that's bad. I mean, it's also good because it tastes so good, but it's bad. You know, you don't want to have it, even though it's so delicious. But that's the unhealthy relationship with food right there in a nutshell. But when you track, you start to see that you can eat all this healthy food, but still be obese. If you pour 5 tablespoons of olive oil on your salad, on your superfood kale salad, that's not healthy, okay? Because again, I'll return to that idea. It's not just the quality, but it's the quantity that matters. And that also works in reverse, by the way. Am I unhealthy because I ate a Magnum ice cream bar the other day? Or because I ate a brownie with ice cream the other day? Guess what? My biomarkers are all solid. I'm getting leaner right now. I'm going to be that obnoxious. I'm going to, you know, be talking about the veins on my abs soon. I'm in better health, but I eat dessert regularly. I don't want to say every day, but almost every day, folks. I eat dessert almost every day. And I'm not saying that you should do that. But for me, it helps me balance out the other things that I need to do to stay lean. So in other words, you start to see food choices as less black and white and more shades of gray. And that's even before we consider the mental aspects of being overly obsessed with eating healthy. I did a presentation to a few hundred people the other day, and most of them were really happy about my presentation. But one person was talking about how wrong it was to eat sugar. It's just wrong. That's not a diet, folks. That's a religion. Okay? Sugar isn't the devil. All right? Your issues with your emotions are the problem, or your belief system around food is the problem. But sugar is just sugar. It's just there. And it's not even sugar, really. It's these hyperpalatable foods, right? I'm not going to get into that. I've talked about it before, and I'll talk more about it in upcoming episodes if you don't know what I'm talking about. But just to save you the suspense, Google hyperpalatable foods and read about it. Okay, become educated. Too many people online say the dumbest of things. It's okay if you were saying that sugar is evil 20 years ago, but if you're still thinking that people are buying sugar, Domino sugar by the kilo, and then going home and spoon feeding it to themselves, and that's the problem, that's just stupidity. It's just ignorance. Okay, we're way beyond that. Please step your game up. If you're saying that, or if you know someone who's saying that, please talk to them about hyperpalatable foods. Actually, don't talk to them because you'll just get into an argument. People love to argue about nutrition. But the point is this, it's not about sugar. It's about the combination of sugar and fat. In other words, ice cream, or i.e. ice cream. Ice cream is more fat. Look at Häagen-Dazs ice cream. It's more calories coming from fat than sugar. Okay, let's, and the same thing with croissants. Ooh, I had a croissant this morning. It was delicious. Again, more calories, or the same number of calories coming from fat than there are coming from sugar. So number five, it helps identify food issues. So some of us are more sensitive to some foods than others. For example, high FODMAP foods can give people digestive issues. Another example of this is sometimes we'll have a food, but it won't really satisfy our hunger. And we feel like, oh, I just need more. I just need more. And so you can start to see, oh, when I ate that ice cream, I had one serving, but I came back for another. Like me, ice cream, I can't have it in my house because it, or I can only buy the amount that I'm willing to eat because it'll disappear. It doesn't matter if it's 2 pints, it's going to probably disappear in 1 day, day and a half max. In 2 days, it'll all be gone. So I can only buy a Magnum ice cream bar, or if I want to eat a pint, okay. But I don't buy those things because I've recognized it's a trigger for me. Another thing, you can start to recognize food choices you make when you're stressed. So if you're tracking, you start to recognize patterns of behavior or symptoms with your food choices. I read about a woman who was experiencing eczema, and then she started tracking with her food, or tracking her food, and then made the connection that when she was having certain nuts, like peanuts, a lot of people have problems with peanuts. I actually had another client, he actually flew to from Miami Beach to Colorado to work with an expert in, I think he was it immunology? I forget, but this whole team of some of the best doctors couldn't figure out why he was having these skin problems. And then through working with me and looking at his nutrition, he was able to identify he was having problems every time he ate peanuts. And then when he got rid of the peanuts, the eczema problem went away. So tracking can help you do that. Let's move on. Here are 3 methods I use to help my clients track their food according to their goals and experience level. Because what you think, you might think, okay, well, I'm going to track now. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to track every day. And I'm just going to track every day, and I'm going to track every morsel of food. Okay, track my black coffee. There's 0 calories in that. That's kind of a waste of time, but I'll track it anyway. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to add these spices to this food that I'm cooking. And so, oh, there's no calories in that. Look, you can drive yourself crazy by doing this the wrong way. And it's not that it's the wrong way, but being overly meticulous about it. And before we get started, it's important to understand why we're doing this. We're not tracking to become experts at food tracking. We're tracking so that you can fill the gaps in your food knowledge and develop awareness and take action once you figure out what you're actually eating. In other words, we're tracking to get results. So with that understood, there are many ways to go about achieving this goal. I also want to say that your level of dedication to food tracking depends on the results that you're going to achieve. For example, I'm probably about 12%, maybe even 11% body fat right now, and I want to get back down to 10% or lower in order to make those obnoxious comments about how I can see the veins on my abs because I know you like them so much, right? But if you're just looking to go from obese to overweight or maybe even normal weight, you don't have to be quite as dialed in as me. And to be honest, it's quite simple to go from being obese to normal. And I don't want to diminish the journey. It's hard. It's not easy, but it is simple. And what I mean by that is this: your knowledge and or ability to act on your nutrition knowledge is really low. That's the bad news. The good news is that you're at a great point where you can make the fastest progress. There's no way I'm losing 6 pounds in a week or 5 pounds in a week like some of my clients do. Okay, there's no way I'm making fast progress. It's really like I'm in this period where I do see a difference every week, but it comes very slowly because if I lose more than 1 pound a week, I'm screwing up and burning up muscle. So that's not just good where you are. It's great. It's an opportunity. You got to see this as an opportunity. So if you're obese and wanting to get out of obesity, or maybe if you're just a straight up beginner, maybe you're not obese, maybe you're just overweight or perhaps normal weight, but you're a beginner, here's how I want you to start. Week number one, don't track, just start reading food labels. Read the food facts on the foods that you're eating. Now, some of them won't have labels like chicken, although if you buy it in the store, it may. But for any foods that don't have labels, I want you to download MyFitnessPal and look them up. So start reading food labels, start reading the nutrition facts, start to understand about portion size, how many calories are in those portions. Start reading about the portion sizes. You'll start to realize that your portion of peanut butter is actually not one portion, it's more like five. And the goal here is simple. It's to move away from the good food, bad food thinking and to start understanding portion sizes and calorie content. And here's what I want you to do. If it wasn't clear enough, read food labels, read all the food labels, check out the serving sizes, check out how many calories are in the serving. And I want you to measure and weigh portions. So not only will you have to download MyFitnessPal, but you'll have to invest in a scale as well. Just start reading and measuring some things. Get an idea of portions. Like, oh, is that a portion? Make it into a game. Don't obsess about it. Just start to make it into a game. Because I've done this before. I've showed some of my clients in my coaching program. I show them two plates of food. There's chicken. There's like a rice and lentil mix, and there's spinach. And then I show them one of them has 300 calories in the meal and the other has over 500 calories. And I say, what's the difference here? It's the same food. And they're like, I don't know what the difference is. That's how they all start out. Most of them start out. Then they start to realize, oh, I'm sorry, there was guacamole there too. And then they start to realize, oh, wow, that guacamole serving is much bigger. It's about double. It doesn't look much, but it is actually double. And that rice pilaf, I guess you would say, the rice lentil pilaf is also about a portion and a half. And just from the changes in portions, the same foods, but the changes in portions, the calories went up to almost double. And this is where a lot of people screw up. It's not that people who are overweight are eating nothing but processed food. A lot of people are making healthy choices. The clients who come to me, they're very financially successful. They're not crushing Cheetos and Mountain Dew, all right? Like giant bags of Cheetos and 2 liters of Mountain Dew. These are people who are eating good quality food. And you might be in that same situation too. When someone says, give up the processed food, fatty, you're like, hey, listen, asshole, I don't even eat that much processed food. So what you're saying is bullshit. I think it's my metabolism. I think it's my genes. I think it's something else. It's my hormones. Now, that's not true either. It's not those things. But this is an example where people go wrong. The idea is if someone's overweight or obese, they're just slamming processed food, and it's just not true. You can eat healthy food and get very fat doing it, or what is commonly referred to healthy food and get very fat doing it. And the opposite is true as well. You can eat junk food. You can eat every meal at McDonald's. And if it's under, if, you know, there was a guy who did the McDonald's diet, you can even look that up. He ate 2,000 calories per meal and only ate at McDonald's. And he lost, I believe it was something like 30 pounds. I mean, I would never go and eat at McDonald's, every meal at McDonald's. That sounds horrible. And you probably have some digestive problems because of the quality of the food and some of the preservatives that are in it or whatever causes those problems. But the point is, you would still lose body fat and you would still get healthier as a result. People have this disconnect. It's like, there's no way I can be unhealthy if I eat healthy foods. And it's not true. Just like, oh, there's no way I can be healthy if I eat these unhealthy foods like ice cream and Oreo cookies. That's not true either. It's a grayer area of that. And that's why you come to this podcast, because I'll tell you the truth, because I'm not trying to sell a $37 keto meal plan, keto intermittent fasting meal plan. I'm trying to help you with this. And if you want to take the next level, you hire me as a coach and I coach you through this process. That's my business model, super transparent. Do it on your own. If it doesn't work, hire me. I'll help you make it happen. So anyway, just to recap here, if you're a beginner, start with reading food labels, looking up foods that don't have labels, and measuring and weighing your portions. There's no need to track in the app. Just get an idea of what portion sizes look like and the calories in the portion. You don't need to know how many calories. You don't even need to know. A lot of people say, hey, listen, but how many calories do I need to eat to lose weight? I'm not going to answer that question because number one, it's more complicated than you think. And number two, I don't know. So just do this and you may not even need to ask that question or answer that question. So week number two, track for a week. You've got MyFitnessPal downloaded. You've started measuring and weighing some food. Now I want you to track it in MyFitnessPal. You could journal it with photos or use notes in an app, or write it down in old school, what would you call it? Not analog, but you write it in a journal with a pen and paper. If you want to, you can do that. But start to track it. Now, I recommend MyFitnessPal. It's just super easy. It remembers your food, so you don't have to look them up again. And most of us eat the same thing on a regular basis. And the goals here are simple. Dial in what you learned in week one. Take your knowledge and skills to the next level and get better results by challenging yourself. Because what people do, just like in a martial, look, I'm a martial artist. I've got a brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I didn't start with brown belt moves when I was a white belt. I got my white belt. You get that when you first start. And then I got my stripes. I got stripes on my white belt. And then I got my blue belt. And then I got my purple belt. And then I've got my brown belt. I got two stripes on my brown belt. And I'm probably a pretty far away from black belt at this point. But the point is, a lot of people, they have their white belts on and they don't want to stripe. They want to move right to brown belt or to black belt or to purple belt. But the truth is, it needs to be progressive. If you start trying to track every day, it's going to be too much for you most likely. Start small. Now, that's not sexy. It's not what you want to do. You just want to get to it. You just want to get it done. The issue is, this is why people get so stressed, so frustrated. Do it in stages. Just start with week one, reading the food labels, looking up foods that don't have labels, measuring and weighing portions out so you get an idea of the portion size and the calories contained in those portions. Then week two, take it up a notch, track for a week. Again, I recommend MyFitnessPal because then you still have to weigh and measure to make sure the portions are the same. But you don't, when you track it in MyFitnessPal, you can just say, you can, as soon as you type it up, MyFitnessPal will remember it and you can just put it right into your slot for whatever meal you're eating. You'll see what I mean when you download MyFitnessPal and use it. So let's talk about, okay, well, that's a good way to start. But what if you're wanting to get really lean? Well, the answer is simple. You got to track until you achieve your desired results. Now let's talk about some things that you need to understand when you start tracking. Number one is expect to be frustrated. It's not easy to do this. If it were, then everyone would be fit. Everybody would just track and everybody would be lean and it would be really easy. But the truth is it's not. It's a challenge. I mean, I wanted to give up in the first 3 days of tracking, but I didn't. And now I'm able to eat the foods that I love, eat in restaurants almost every day, and stay lean while doing it. Number two, challenge yourself, but also have the self-awareness to know when you need to take a break, but make sure it's your best self that's saying you need to take a break, not your bullshit self trying to sabotage you. You know exactly what I mean. Whenever you want to do something, it's like, whenever I want to get out of doing something, I ask myself, is this my best self or my bullshit self talking? Number three, it's not about tracking. We're tracking because it's a tool, but it's about getting results. It's not about being the best tracker around. It's about, can you use tracking to drive results in the real world? So if you're not getting results, then you're doing something wrong. You don't even have to track so diligently to get results. You just have to do enough to get the results that you want. Again, I'm tracking everything, but I'm not weighing everything right now. I don't have a food scale with me. Then again, I've tracked for the better part of a year and did weigh almost all my meals, except the ones that I ate in a restaurant. I wouldn't break out the scale at a restaurant. So anyway, you just need to be good enough to get the results that you want. You're not trying to be perfect here. You're trying to get results. Number four, ask for support. Don't break out your phone in front of your family or the food scale without telling them and expect them to react in a way that's supportive to you or your friends. Sit down with them, explain what you're doing, explain how important it is to you that you improve your health and lose some weight, and ask for their support, ask for their help. Number five, hire an expert. You may listen to my two-part episode on tracking and get all the success that you want. You may get exactly what you want and you're happy with the results. No problem. Great. I'm so happy that my podcast helped you, that the information that I worked so hard to put together, to put out so that you can take your life to the next level. I'm glad it worked. But depending on your goals, depending on how much struggle you go through with this process, you may need help to get there. Look, I hired a coach to help me with this, and I was already in the health and fitness industry for over 20 years when I worked with my coach, Eric, in 2019. For me, I didn't need help getting lean living in the USA. It was really easy. You just go to Publix and Whole Foods, and you have everything that you need there. But I was struggling to get super lean while traveling the world and eating in restaurants all the time. I needed help with this and the accountability to get where I am today. And I'm so glad that I did it, because even though I paid money and invested my time and all the things that come with coaching, it gave me the results in such a short time. It took my knowledge to the next level. So hire an expert to help you if you're not getting the results you want. If you've been spending too much time with this and you're frustrated, hire someone to help you. And that is it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Go take action on what you learn. Don't just let this sit in your head. Learning is not learn, 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 learn. It's learn, apply, learn, apply. You must apply. If you're not applying, you're not learning. You're missing the other half of what it is to learn something. It's not learning. You're entertaining yourself. So go apply something. And in the next episode, we'll talk about how to track to get the most out of it, and also so you don't lose your mind in the process. There's some key things that you need to know so that you don't waste your time tracking or spend 2 hours trying to figure out how to track your your meal that you ate in a restaurant. There's no need to stress out about that. I'm going to share with you some shortcuts to make this, again, not the easiest, not an easy experience, but an easier experience. Learn from my mistakes so you don't have to, okay? Hope you enjoyed this episode. And next Monday, we're going to continue with part two, where we're going to get tactical and practical. So make sure you show up with some notes, ready to download MyFitnessPal if you haven't done it already. But until then, we're going to meet on Friday, where we're going to have another real talk conversation. And this time, we're going to be talking about how to break bad habits for good. Have you ever asked yourself why it's so hard to break a bad habit, even when you really, really want to make it happen? Why is it so hard? And how can we get better every time that we, say, fall off the wagon of changing our habit, or we slip backwards and relapse? How can we get better about that? And are there better strategies? Well, on this Friday, I'm going to give you answers to these questions and more, and we're going to get into some effective strategies on how to break your bad habits for good so you can start living the life that you want and being the person that you really want to be. So have an amazing week and speak to you on Friday. This podcast is sponsored by the Legendary Life Program. The Legendary Life Program is a 90-day coaching program where I work with you to upgrade your health, burn fat, and transform your body while you enjoy your life and eat the foods that you love. So if you're over 40, you've tried everything, and nothing has worked long-term, or if you're tired of restrictive dieting and time-consuming workouts, this might be the right program for you. So if you want to learn more about my program, watch my brand new masterclass where I teach you the five-step process our busy clients are using to build a leaner, stronger, and healthier body 3 times faster without boot camps, CrossFit, high-intensity interval training, Pilates, intermittent fasting, going keto, or quick fixes that don't work long-term. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/free. That's legendarylifepodcast.com/free.